Good morning. This is a new podium. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Well, good morning and greetings from Westville Bible Chapel in New Haven. It certainly is a privilege to be here this morning and open the Word of God with you. And I trust and pray it would be a blessing. And most importantly, that the Lord would be glorified in this. And so before we begin, may we just look to Him in a word of prayer. Our God and loving Father, we thank you for this time we were able to just enjoy of remembering the Lord Jesus in His death as we await His return. Certainly, the crucifixion is not joyous until one remembers the price that was paid for our redemption. Then it is joyous. But Father, Your Son endured that cross for us, and most importantly, He bore our sins in His own body on that tree. We cannot imagine, Father, what was it, blessed God, led Thee to give Thy Son for us. Father, we just pray Your blessing upon our time now as we open the precious Word of God and look into its pages and see Your servants and see those You have laid Your hand upon for blessing for us even today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, there's a saying that says, if you don't learn your mistakes from history, you're bound to repeat them. And that's a very true statement. And was even reminded of the children of Israel by the Apostle Paul. He reminded them of when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage. They strayed from the Lord. And they started serving idols, wood and stone, and even worse than that. And many perished. And so, like it is today, we look into the Old Testament, which I'd like us to look into today, and just kind of see lessons that were brought before the children of Israel and that can, we trust, be applied to our lives as well. Just a little bit of history, and again, I think it's important, it is for me anyway, to get into the Old Testament. It's certainly not a closed book. In fact, most of your Bible is Old Testament. And we do have the connections, of course, with the New and our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacrifices of old, those animals that were offered up on those altars, all spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many then may not have realized that, but it was of the one to come. God will provide Himself a lamb. I've been reading in the book of Jeremiah. It's called a major prophet as opposed to a minor prophet. Basically, that just means it's a big book. It's 52 chapters. Take you half a year if you read two chapters a night. So I don't pretend that we're going to cover anywhere near 52 chapters in Jeremiah. But hopefully, perhaps some stepping stones. You know, you get from the beginning to the end of a cross of a river, for example. There's some stones, and you try to just get to that stone, and there are things between it, but we'll worry about those at a later day. So hopefully today, maybe just a few stepping stones in the book of Jeremiah. We're going to start in 1 Kings, so you don't need to go to Jeremiah quite yet. But it's good to have sort of an understanding, it was to me, as to just the way God had raised up the kings in Israel and Judah. And some might say, well, isn't Israel and Judah, aren't they the same thing? Well, they were at one point. But then they came to that point, and they're no more just one It was separated into Israel and Judah. Israel, 10 tribes to the north. Judah, the 2 tribes to the south, Judah and Benjamin. And to some, could be of interest to learn exactly how did that all happen. This division following Solomon, the son of David. These 10 tribes of Israel went to Solomon's servant, Jeroboam. And the 2 tribes of Judah went to Solomon's son, Rehoboam. You might think, well, those 2 names sound so much the same. How can I remember those things? Well, if you're simple like me, myself, the R for Rehoboam speaks of royalty. So David, Solomon, Rehoboam. So that was a way I can remember it. Then you just remember, well, the other ones must be Jeroboam. And that is true. That is Solomon's servant. But if we can turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings in your Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 11, I find it a blessing personally to be first under the sound of the Word of God, but also to actually get to the pages myself and try to understand and put together those things that I'm reading, the book of Jeremiah that we're going to get to in a moment or two. If you see me change pages, you'll know we're soon to get to Jeremiah. Those chapters in Jeremiah are not necessarily in chronological order. And some of the truths brought out are of that present day in Jeremiah's day, but also of future days as well. But in 1 Kings chapter 11, in the beginning, I begin reading at verse 4. And do I have a little bit past the top of the hour? Is that, yes, brother? Okay. Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. So, David, son Solomon. Let's read about Solomon. Because at this point here, the tribes are still all together. The 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 4 of 1 Kings 11. We're going to read about Solomon. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. So we see here, because of Solomon's sin, he had many wives, and they were of the nations, many, and drew his heart away from the one Lord God to the many smaller case G gods of the nations. And of course, this did not please the Lord, and he told Solomon that his kingdom will be taken from him, specifically from his son, who we will read of shortly. Jeroboam, who is this servant? Same chapter, verse 28. 1 Kings 11:28, "And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor." We're going to read to verse 31. "The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, 'Take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee.'" Let's now look at Rehoboam. 1 Kings 12, beginning at verse 6, verses 6 through 8. "And King Rehoboam," so just as some context here, the kingdom did pass from Solomon to his son Rehoboam. And it says here, verse 6, "And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, 'How do ye advise that I may answer this people?' And they spake unto him, 'If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever.' But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him." Much truth in that even today. The wisdom of our elders, those who are older and wiser, is often forsaken. And men would rather surround themselves with those of like mind, perhaps, those who would seek power, fame, and they would put away the wise counsel of those who have been before and have learned from mistakes and have seen others rise and fall before them. So that's the division between the two. Please, I suggest you read these, at least these two chapters here. It does, for many, help to fill in a lot of the blanks, especially as you read in the Old Testament, speaking of a king of Judah and a king of Israel. Well, how did that happen? Well, we have here before us pretty much how that come about. But about 250 years later, after several kings, so again, you have the kings that go down from Israel, the kings of Israel, and then the kings of Judah. We now have Hoshea, the king over Israel, the 10 tribes that originally years before had gone to Jeroboam, and Hezekiah, he's now the king over Judah. So we go to 2 Kings, chapter 18, 2 Kings chapter 18, and I would leave for you to read chapters 17 and 18, but we'll read 18 just briefly, verses 9 to 12. Second Kings 18, verse 9, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah," that is, the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, "Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Hala, and in Habor, by the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them, nor do them. Later on, we read that the Lord confounded the army of Assyria, and they departed. And Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, was killed by his own sons. So we had, just as a brief recap, we saw the tribes, the 12 tribes, split into 10 and 2, and the 10 tribes that went after Jeroboam, for reasons you can read in the chapters prior, they were captured and taken to Assyria to be pretty much dispersed until a later day, still to come. Now, although we read that Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did that which was good in the sight of the Lord, we do read words of Isaiah to him concerning the house of Judah in a soon-to-come day. And I'll just read them from Isaiah chapter 39. I'm just going to read two verses, verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 39. And these are the words from Isaiah to Hezekiah. "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So while the reign of the kings of Israel ended with Hoshea and the 10 tribes being taken to Assyria, the kings of Judah continued yet with this warning. I turn the page, so now we're going to be considering the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet who cried out against the house of Judah. The house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, but together are called the house of Judah. Their kings, he cried out against their priests, he cried out against the people, the false prophets, the deceiving shepherds of the day, for their continued sin against God. And they were warned by Jeremiah of the impending destruction of Jerusalem and of their captivity to Babylon. So let's turn to Jeremiah. Who is this prophet, Jeremiah? I'll read some verses here from chapter 1, right after the book of Isaiah. I think it's best to hear the word of God instead of my voice on these things. So we'll begin at verse 1. On who is prophet Jeremiah. I'm going to read through verse 10. "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." In the opening chapters of Jeremiah, there are many pictures. There's the rod of an almond tree, which is the first tree to blossom. And one of my references is this a New and Concise Bible Dictionary. And the meaning of that almond branch being the first to blossom is that the Lord will quickly perform his work, which he did. There's another one of a seething pot, a cauldron, tipped with its face toward the north. And this speaks of judgment coming from the north, from Babylon. In Jeremiah chapter 2, we'll just turn the page over, verse 27 and 28, Jeremiah reminds Judah. So Jeremiah reminds the two tribes that remain there of Judah. Again, the 10 tribes were already taken to Assyria. He reminds Judah of Israel's departure from the Lord. 27 and 28, when they said to the stock, "Thou art my father." So these are the children of Israel. The ones who knew of Moses, who this departure is baffling at times to read. Because they said to a stick, basically, a piece of wood, "Thou art my father." And to a stone, "Thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, 'Arise and save us.' But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah." So the two tribes of Judah are going after other gods. And there are explicit details as to the names of these gods and the abominations that they were committing unto these gods. It's difficult to fathom. And yet again, we need to learn from history. We should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We can easily be drawn away. Not from our salvation, that is secure, but our blessing and our communion with the Lord Jesus. 11 times in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord speaks of his faithful servants and prophets rising up early and speaking. I'm paraphrasing here. Rising up early and speaking, but they heard not. Rising up early and sending them, but they would not listen and hardened their neck. Rising up early and protesting, saying, "Obey my voice," but they obeyed not, nor inclined the ear, but walked in the imagination of their evil heart. Rising up early and teaching them, but they would not receive instruction, but set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. Chapter 5, verse 19. Again, stepping stones. "And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, 'Wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us?' Then shalt thou answer them, 'Like as ye have forsaken me, and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours.'" Again, these are prophecies that a day was coming that because of their sin, Judah will be taken to Babylon. A familiar name, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in the year 606 BC. Many of your Bibles at the front gives you kind of a calendar of events as they occurred, major events. This is a major one. In the year 606 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, besieges Jerusalem and takes many of the Jews to Babylon. This date begins the 70 years of captivity. Indeed, it's interesting, if you get through reading in the book of Jeremiah, there were these false prophets in Judah. And it speaks of the lightness of their prophecies. And they would say things like, "In 2 years, all those vessels and so forth that were taken out of the house of the Lord by Babylon will be returned. 2 years, that's all." And Jeremiah says, amen. That would be wonderful. But again, I paraphrase, that's not going to be the case. It's going to be 70 years. And Jeremiah clearly declares this. He cries over the destruction of the city. And in chapter 4, he says in verse 19, Jeremiah says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Chapter 7, we're not going to go through every chapter, I trust, believe me. Chapter 7 of Jeremiah. Verse 17, the Lord reminds Jeremiah, 17 to 20, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah? And in the streets of Jerusalem, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold mine anger, and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched. We now come to the king who would be the last to reign in Judah before the armies of Babylon came and destroyed the city in 588 BC. And his name was Zedekiah, who we read of earlier. It was in the ninth year of Zedekiah's 11 years of reign that the armies of Babylon besieged the city of Jerusalem. And by besieging, they basically surrounded, nothing in, nothing out. Just imagine this building and an army around you. You cannot leave, and no one can come in, and you're left with what's in the refrigerator and the freezer in the other room for 2 years. That city was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar's army. Yet, Zedekiah the king, he rested on the friendship of Egypt to the south, because there was a time when the armies of Pharaoh came north, and it speaks of the Chaldeans, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, they departed. But Jeremiah proclaimed in chapter 37, yes, we're moving quickly forward, chapter 37 of Jeremiah and verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me, that would be Zedekiah. Behold, still in verse 7 of chapter 37, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. Well, there were some false accusations brought against Jeremiah. Basically saying he was deserting, potentially. It put him into prison. But we come to a section in this book which I think you'll find in your own reading as you go through the scriptures. It's going to be this one little section you probably never really paid a lot of attention to. And this one section was really what drove me to this message here today. And we're going to pick up in chapter 37 and verse 21. Then Zedekiah the king, and we're going to go through verse 5 of the next chapter. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison. So he was in a dungeon, he's been taken out, and he's now in the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Shephatiah the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah the son of Pashur, and Jukal the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people. Now these are the words that Jeremiah had been crying out against the people. Thus saith the Lord, he that remains in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goes forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey. Basically a phrase that says, your enemies will not have you as a prey. What you do is of yourself. Ye shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes, those in verse 1, said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeks not the welfare of the people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. So it's interesting. For them to preserve their lives, they were to surrender to the attacking army of Babylon. Not to defend the city. Certainly not to look to Egypt. But it's also here you see the hatred of those. Not just against Jeremiah, but all the prophets of old. The hatred of sinful man. Their pride and their arrogance. We will defend this city to the last man. But the word of the Lord was what? Go forth out of the city under your own volition. Surrender to this king. Continuing in verse 6. And this is specifically the passage that caught my attention. We're going to read through verse 13. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. And here's the phrase. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. I often don't think of a dungeon having kind of a slimy floor to it. But the way this is worded, it'd just be such a horrible place, would it not? Cold and wet and so thick that you actually sink into it. You can't even walk around. Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, this is the man. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts, or cloths and so forth, and rotten rags under your armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. I'm sure that care was not given to Jeremiah when he was cast into that dungeon. Can you imagine having rope around you and the weight of your body as you're being lowered into essentially mire and slime? Probably a place of death before. But here, this blessed man, an Ethiopian eunuch, first sends down cloths for Jeremiah to put under his arms. And then the cords came down. And it took 30, well, whether it took 30 men to lift him up, I don't know. It doesn't say specifically, but Ebed-Melech had 30 men with him. I cannot see it being less than 5 or 6 to pull somebody up out of a pit with a rope. It's interesting, though, when a man's ways please the Lord, Proverbs 16, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And here we saw Zedekiah. He did let Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, go to Jeremiah and lift him up out of that pit. And following Ebed-Melech, interceding for Jeremiah. Chapter 39, verse 15. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, says the Lord. And thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. The Lord says through Jeremiah, I will deliver you, Ebed-Melech. I will surely deliver you from the hands of those that would seek to harm you. In Matthew's gospel, I'm just going to have a few sections here just to read, but if you'd like to follow along, terrific. Matthew 25, New Testament, here's the Lord speaking of a future day. He says here, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Just staying with this thought of this Ethiopian in Isaiah chapter 56. I'd suggest you turn there if you would, please. Isaiah 56. And for the context, verses 1 to 5. Thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment, and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that lays hold on it, that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls, a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. One could imagine Ebed-Melech saying, I am a dry tree. When I die, my name dies. But if you have a dictionary of scripture proper names, Ebed-Melech means servant of the king. Ebed-Melech was given in the Lord's house and within its walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. The Lord gave Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. How do we know that? His name is in the Word of God, in a blessed portion of the Word of God. There are many in the Word of God whose names, I'm sure, they wish they were never mentioned. But dear Ebed-Melech, this Ethiopian, he saw a brother in need in a prison and interceded. In Acts chapter 8, you recall, Philip was led to Gaza, and specifically to a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. So these men could not father children, but they were given positions of great authority. And here, not only did Ebed-Melech have the ability to go right to the king in that gate of Benjamin and intercede for Jeremiah, but here in the New Testament, you have this man of great authority under Candace, or Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge of all her treasure, and they had come to Jerusalem to worship, and Philip approaches the chariot. I'm going to turn there just so I don't misquote it. He was able to hear the man of Ethiopia reading the words of Isaiah centuries later, specifically that verse in Isaiah 53, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the Ethiopian asks Philip, he says, of whom is this passage speaking? Is this Isaiah speaking of himself or of some other? And Philip had the privilege of opening his mouth and speaking unto him, Jesus. I wonder if this man in the New Testament was reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, they didn't have chapters and verse numbers back then. If his eyes fell a few verses later, not sure how much of the scroll he had, on Isaiah 56, where the Lord says, Declare not that I am a dry tree, for you'll have an everlasting name. Those that seek to do to be a blessing to my brethren. Well, I trust this has been of interest. I mean, the words of Jeremiah, much of them are very sad, and a lot of mourning for the children of Israel, children of Judah. But Jeremiah does remind us that a day is coming. In chapter 33, I'll just end in this verse, these verses. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, will save Israel in a coming day. May God add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, this privilege to open up the scriptures freely in this country. We do not want to take it for granted. We know there are many who risk their very lives to do so, even to have a few verses in their possession hidden in their home. Father, we thank you for this blessed portions that we've been able to read. And just pray, Father, you'd bless all the reading of your word and meditation, that we'd be led by the Holy Spirit of God to a greater understanding of it, and most importantly, a greater love and appreciation for our Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask this in his own most precious name. Amen.